Have your Bibles. We're going to go to Genesis 22 in just a minute, but I want to talk to you about an encouragement that the presence of God demands a response. When the Spirit of God shows up in the room, in the atmosphere, when you know that God is in the room, you need to get a revelation of it. You need to get it like in your head. It's not a theory. The presence of God isn't a theory. It's not a concept. It's tangible. There is the Holy Spirit of God that comes into a room and changes the atmosphere. If we say God is in the room, and he's actually in the room. And that should demand a response out of our life. And so often we sit and we don't participate, and we don't get engaged in what God's doing. It'd be like if Gene and Pat invited us over for dinner, and my wife and I came over to their house for dinner, which he's an amazing cook. If they, and she is too, but he's like a chef, like really. When they invite us over, if I came into Gene and Pat's house and he never acknowledged me, if he didn't look at me, say, "Hi, Pastor Greg, welcome to our home." If he never said anything to me, if he just went outside to the grill and flipped burgers or flipped steaks or whatever, and just, that's a hint. If he just went outside and did stuff, and he never even acknowledged me, and then he came in and set all the food on the table and just folded his arms and said, wouldn't look at me, talk to me, how many know that would cause me to withdraw myself? What do you think it is when the Holy Spirit comes into a room or into an atmosphere and the people don't even acknowledge him? What do you think it is when we don't even respond to God with a praise or a lifted hand or a tear or anything? I watched this video. Jim Boatman sent me a video at 7 o'clock this morning about the agonizing and how the church has lost this spirit of anticipation, and we've gotten so lazy in our praise and worship and our approaching to the Father. Like, don't you think that I learned something about God through the years, and if you don't acknowledge him, he will withdraw himself. If you don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit, if you don't welcome the Holy Spirit, that's why it's so important every day of your life that you wake up in the morning and acknowledge Holy Spirit as being in the room. You thank him for a good night's sleep, or you thank him that he was with you in a restless night's sleep. See, because your focus gets all off sometimes, and you're more worried about the sleep you didn't get than the fact that he was with you in the middle of a restless night. And so we don't acknowledge him, we don't spend time with him, and all of a sudden we find out, well, where's God in the middle of all this? Well, I'll tell you where he's at. He's waiting on you to acknowledge him. He's waiting on you to engage in his presence and to welcome the Spirit of the living God into your family. Instead of constantly going through life and giving so much attention to the other direction, I think you and I need to realize our God is a God of increase and multiplication, and he's looking for a way to bless your life. Nobody likes to be ignored. And I found out if God gets disrespected, he withdraws himself, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And the more that you acknowledge him, the more that you welcome him, and the more that you respond to his showing up, I think it's amazing how God shows up in this place every week. I go home just amazed. Like, you guys think you're amazed? I go home amazed. I know who I am. And I'm like, this is like all God. This has absolutely nothing to do with me, and it's all about him. And when he shows up in here, I'm not taking it for granted. I've been to some dead churches before. Can anybody relate? Like, I don't want to be a part of a dead church anymore. I want to acknowledge when the presence of God shows up, I want to be engaging with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need to just tell somebody, I'm as broke as I'm ever going to be. Come on, just look at someone. I'm as broke as I'm ever going to be. I'm as depressed as I'm ever going to be. I'm as down as I'm ever going to be. I'm moving on up. Come on, you remember? Anybody remember the Jeffersons? Moving on up to the east side. Moving on up. This church is moving on up. We're not settling for where we've been or settling for what we've accomplished. Our best days are ahead of us. Our future lies ahead of us, and we're not going to sit back and rest on what has happened in the past. I love that God did all those miracles last Sunday, but I'm believing God for some phone calls this week that says, hey, Pastor, I felt like giving up, but I ain't giving up now. I felt like I was overwhelmed, but I am not overwhelmed anymore. I'm overwhelming my enemy. Amen. Best days are ahead of us. I'm looking for some people who will live in a perpetual breakthrough. Like it's just a perpetual breakthrough where I am going from one season of God's goodness to another season, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And my God is blessing me and increasing me more and more. Genesis 22, 16 and 17. By myself, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you and your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemy. Your seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. Your seed. Get this into your spirit. Your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Any attack against your children is an attack against God. Any attack against your righteous seed is an attack against God. And God will not be defeated. And every time the enemy comes against your children, he needs to understand he's about to get defeated. I have righteous seed in my life. Does anybody have righteous seed in your life? My son and my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren. I'm telling you, I am not letting the enemy have 1 minute of their time anymore. I'm not sitting back and letting the enemy steal from me and defeat my children. I am declaring my children are the righteous seed of God. And devil, you got to loose your hold over my kids. Come on. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. My brother-in-law, Ray, is a man of God, and I call him into the kingdom of God. The devil cannot have him. Her children, this is my daughter-in-law. He cannot have her kids, Bailey, Brennan, Derek. Every one of them are coming into the kingdom of God. Danielle, Mariah, Timmy, every one of them are coming into the kingdom of God. We're not letting the devil have our kids any longer. He can't have their mind. He can't have their money. He can't have their time. He is a defeated foe, and the righteous seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Amen. If you got righteous seed, stand up on your feet. If you got righteous seed and the devil's been trying to steal your righteous seed, I want you to declare right now, you cannot have my kids. You cannot have my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. You cannot have my nieces and nephews and cousins in the name of Jesus. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Come on. Come on, stomp on the devil's head. Say, you can't have them. They will possess the gate of the enemy. Amen. You can be seated. My seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. Genesis 22, 17 said, in blessing I will bless you, and I will multiply you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemy. I want to talk to the church about blessing and increase. Right now, if you got a cell phone, take your cell phone out and share this podcast. Just share it. Just get on there and hit the share button at the bottom and say, I'm sharing this with everybody I know. The blessing of God is on the advance, and God wants to increase you. Hey, God never leaves anything the way he finds it. You hear me? God never leaves anything the way he finds it. Is there anybody in here other than me that are so thankful that God hasn't left me where he found me? Come on, I am not the man I used to be, Jim. I am not the same old guy. I'm in a new place with God, and I'm going somewhere with God. I'm not settling for what I used to be. Now, look, I still have breakdowns. I still have some lapses. The enemy still tries to manifest sometimes, don't he? But he don't have any authority in my life. Some of you manifest too, man. I've been talking with some of you. You got some issues in your life, but you're not who you used to be. Come on, God never leaves anything where he finds it. He's advancing the kingdom of God. Listen, we need to be blessing conscious. You need to have an awareness. You need to awake to the blessing. Blessings are coming at you every day from every side. God is trying to bless you. But we have been so trained with our carnality that we are always fighting the devil. And we're giving way too much attention to what the devil is doing instead of what God's doing. And it's like we just live with this mentality because we know in the Word that when Satan tempted Jesus, he left him until a more opportune time. But you can't find in the Bible where Jesus was always looking for the devil. Well, he's going to come back, so I got to be ready because he's going to come back. You got the wrong thinking. You got to start looking through spiritual eyes. You got to be wide-eyed and wonder, what's God trying to do? What's God want to get into my life? Because if he can get it through your life, he'll get it to your life. You're blessed to be a blessing. You weren't blessed by God to go around fighting the devil all the time. He's a defeated foe. But what we do is we've been trained by society to constantly be in warfare. I get people calling me all the time, oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because these triggers, you know, I got these triggers that just keep trying to pull me back, and these spirits are always trying to get me, and I'm always in this warfare. Well, let me just tell you something. You got wrong thinking. You got stinking thinking. God's trying to bless you. He's more powerful than the devil, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm not going to focus on what the devil is doing. I'm going to focus on what God's trying to get to me. You got to know he's greater. I mean, I have attacks. Did anybody else have any attacks from the devil this week? Well, my conversation isn't about the attacks of the devil. It's about the blessing of the Father. It's about me waking up every day and thinking, God's about to bless me. God's about to pour through me. God's about to send the fire. He's about to send the virtue out of my life. Blessings are coming at us every day. But we're always focused on the curses and always focused on the attacks. Deuteronomy 28 was a scripture that my wife was reading this week, and it just leaped on me, and I'll read it to you, but maybe if you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, you should open up your Bible and mark it up. Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 1, I just want to remind the church, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, righteous seed. And the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. We need to be awake to the blessing. You need to think increase. You need to think multiplication. Listen, God tells us what the blessing is all about. And I'm here to tell every one of you, don't chase the blessing. Chase the blesser. The blessing follows the blesser. Chase the blesser and expect the blessing. Chase the blesser. Wake up every day. Chase the Holy Spirit. Go after the Holy Spirit. Wake up with the Holy Spirit. Go to bed with the Holy Spirit. Don't go to bed meditating on all the problems of life. Meditate on the Holy Spirit. Meditate on His Word day and night, and you shall make your way prosperous. Don't be afraid of prosperity, but don't chase prosperity. Chase the blesser. The blessing follows the blesser. In Genesis 12:2, God told Abram, he said, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He's telling you what the blessing is for. When the blessing of God comes into your life, it is so that you can be a blessing. It's not so you can get puffed up and get a bigger house and a better car and get all this stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, if you don't focus it right, you can get so consumed with the blessing that you forget the blesser. And it isn't about the blessing, it's about the blesser. But I expect to be blessed because I'm following the blesser. Man, God's blessed me for a long time, and I'm used to it. I'm used to it. You need to get awake to the blessing. You need to have a blessing consciousness. We were at church on the North Coast, and there was a prophet came to town. We have not had a prophet yet. God's going to send a prophet, a real prophet, who will call out stuff that has already been confirmed in your heart. It is for encouragement. It is for edifying. It's for strengthening. And God's going to, I just know it's going to happen. I'm not chasing it. It's all in God's timing. He's going to send a prophetic voice to the church. But this prophet came to our church, and I was just a young youth pastor starting out. And this guy calls out people in the church that I knew that he didn't know, and I heard him tell them things that they were praying about, that I had been praying with them about, that they had never disclosed anywhere. And God began to prophesy to people, and all of a sudden he called me out. I'm on the front row, and this prophet says, "Young man, I want you to stand up." I stood up, and he started telling me about how the enemy was coming after me and that he had attacked my life and tried to take my life, and he went through all this stuff, and he finished it with, "But he can't get a hold of you because you're butter." He said, "You're butter." I got it. I had him. I got the recording of it. I got it. I had it on video. He said, "You're like butter. Every time he grabs a hold of you and tries to destroy you, he can't get a hold of you because he just slips right off of you. You're butter." I was 16 years old. I was going to Pennsylvania deer hunting with my father and my best friend in the back seat, driving in my brand new Mustang, 16 years old, driving across the Route 2 headed to Pennsylvania, and everybody went to sleep. And I put rock and roll music on, G98. I remember it like it was yesterday, G98. Dancing Danny Wright. I had Dancing Danny Wright on, and I panned it all to this side because my dad was a Holy Ghost preacher, and if you listened to rock and roll music, you was going to hell. And so I was like, "Well, Lord Jesus, let me pan it over here so Daddy don't hear it because he's sleeping, and I don't want to wake him up, so I'm over here. I got my head on the dashboard listening to G98 going down the road, man. Just listen to Boston, "More Than a Feeling." I'm just cruising, man. And I fell asleep. I went across the median, jumped over the median, hit a telephone pole. The telephone pole came all the way through the car, cut the car almost in half, knocked out all my teeth in the front, cut my lip off, smashed my ankle. I remember kicking that door, trying to get that door open. And my friend, he had a pizza in his lap. And when he did... Why is pizza always associated with me? I don't know. But Bob Hewitt had a pizza in his lap, and he was going deer hunting with us. When I hit that telephone pole, that pizza went up into his face, and it just covered his face with pizza sauce and everything. And so he climbed out the little hatchback window in the back. I kicked the door open, and I went out the window. And when I come around the car, I saw all that on his face, and I thought I'd done killed him. And I just And I just took off running across that field, you know, and they came and tackled me and held me down, and I was in intensive care for 3 days, and it's just like the enemy wanted to kill me, but I was like butter. I can't explain it. At 17 years old, this prophet calls this stuff out of me, and he tells me, "The devil has been attacking your life, but he can't get you because you're like butter." At 17 years old, I'm driving in my car. I had a Firebird Formula 400, and I had it all beefed up, and I was going down the road, and I, you know, burn out a little bit and put it in second gear, and it locked up in second gear, and I couldn't get it out of gear. And so I drove it in second gear for a long ways to my sister's house, and her garage door was open, so I pulled the car in the driveway, and I went into the house or into the garage, and I got a floor jack, and I jacked up the car, and I climbed under the car with a tire iron to get that thing out of gear, and I got it to pop out of gear, and when it popped out of gear, it rolled off the ramps and rode down on me, and the headers were on my arm, and I could smell my flesh burning, and I was losing air, and I couldn't do anything, and I wasn't really right with God, man. I'm just telling you, I wasn't. I grew up in church my whole life, and I don't care what anybody says. You know in your heart if you're right or not. And I just knew I wasn't right, and the last thing I remember running this car out, "God help me." And when I did, I left my body, and I was in a cloud. I was sitting on a little branch, and I could see the bright light. I could see the tunnel, and I was so drawn to go to the tunnel. And it was like I looked back, and I could see my feet underneath the car, and a paperboy. I see it just like it was yesterday. A paperboy came through there with a newspaper in his hand, and he threw the newspaper on the porch. He walked around my car, and he almost tripped on my feet. He saw my feet, and he's trying to pull me out from under the car. It's just like it was yesterday. And then I'm screaming to the kid. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm up here. I'm okay. And he couldn't get me out, and he ran to my sister's door and was beating on her door, and he couldn't get her to come out. And then he ran next door, and he beat on that door, and that guy came out, and I'm yelling to those guys. I'm like, I'm okay. And they got the jack, and they jacked the car up. And when they got the car up, they grabbed my feet and pulled me out. As they pulled me out from the car, I see my sister running out of the house, and I'm screaming, Kathy, I'm okay. I'm up here. I'm okay. And she had a towel wrapped around her. She was in the shower. She grabbed my head. I was bleeding out of my eyes. I was bleeding out of my ears. I was bleeding out of my nose. I had so much pressure on my body that my blood vessels burst on the outside. And when they burst on the outside, it's the only thing that spared my life. But I remember screaming, I'm okay. And then immediately I was back in my body looking up at her, and I'm like, Kathy, I'm okay. The devil couldn't get me. I was like butter. It's crazy, right? And then just, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, and 8 years, Bobby, help me with dates. When did I die? Huh? 2009. Her and I are going jogging. We're jogging the neighborhood. And I get about 0.2 miles from the house, and my heart goes to V-fib, and I just drop dead. I'm laying there dead on the ground. Bobby's calling 911 trying to get me help. They're trying to revive me, mouth to mouth, can't get me going. Put me on life support. Take me to the emergency room. I'm on life support. I'm in ICU. They put me in a cooling treatment, put my body in hypothermia. 3 days in the coma, the fourth day I come out. Why? Because I was like butter. Listen to me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is greater than the power of the enemy. You need to realize you are like butter. He can't get what God's got. He can't curse what God's already blessed. And some of you are spending so much time fighting the devil, and you need to get the word into your spirit. Our family is like butter. We're going to rise to the top. We will not be defeated. We are not going down. We are not going to lose this battle. It's already been won. I am butter. Come on, shout it to the Lord. I am butter. Amen. I'm butterball. Come on. He can't curse what God's blessed. Your future is open-ended. You need to stop being satisfied with just enough. The church has been so stuck. His church is stuck. People are just satisfied with what they have, satisfied with where they're at. And God says, hey, I want you to see the multiplication and increase that I've got for your life. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. Come on. Your God is a God of increase. You're somewhere in the future, and you look much better than you do right now. Come on, I'm somewhere in the future, and I look much better than I do right now. I am better. We serve a big God, and we need to think big. It's so easy for people to get stuck, the church to get stuck. When I was a kid, man, our church fought technology so bad. I remember as a kid, man, they wouldn't let you go to the movie theaters because that was the devil's house, man. And Jesus comes back, he can't find you in the devil's house. You weren't allowed to go to movies. I remember when they started changing all the grocery stores and they were no longer going to actually put in your item. They were just going to scan it. I'm 57 years old, so this isn't that long ago, you know. But they started scanning stuff, and Mommy and Daddy was like, that's the mark of the beast. That's where it's going. That's going to be the mark of the beast right there. They're scanning this stuff already, and it ain't going to be long. They'll be scanning you. And we just fought it. We just resisted technology. And technology kept moving and kept advancing. I remember when they started putting chips in dogs. Lord Jesus, that's the mark of the beast right there. It's coming on everybody. Now everybody's got a chip in their dog. But we're so afraid of it. And because we've resisted technology, it's like it's just moving and going. And the church has been so afraid of technology. We got to stop. We got to take technology back and realize it's a tool for God to bless the body of Christ. When I'm asking you to share that podcast, it ain't so I can look good. It's so this message can get out to the world. Your God is a God of increase. He's not a God of decrease. His blessings are overwhelming. You're blessed to be a blessing. God wants to use technology. He wants to use it for his kingdom. Listen, Billy Graham preached to more people than anybody face-to-face. He preached more to people than anybody face-to-face on the earth. I mean, at that time. Now, I'm sure Reinhard Bonnke has far surpassed what Billy Graham did. I mean, Reinhard Bonnke has a million people showing up in crusades. A million people. But anyways, everybody knows who Billy Graham was, but do you know who William Randolph Hearst was? See, William Randolph Hearst was a newspaper mogul. He owned newspapers, many of them. And he heard Billy Graham when Billy Graham was just a young guy, about 30 years old. He heard him preach. And evangelist Billy Graham in his book recalls the pivotal point in his young ministry when during a 1949 Los Angeles crusade, a two-word directive from newspaper mogul William Randolph Hearst was just simply said this. It said, "Puff Graham." This is what Billy Graham says. He put a thing in there, and he said, "Puff Graham." What he was saying was, he said, "Give him good reviews." He meaning give him good publicity. And instantly, Billy Graham, at that crusade, it's reported that over 350,000 people showed up to hear Billy Graham preach. Because of a two-word note written on a piece of paper by a newspaper mogul that said, here, to all of his newspapers, "Puff Graham, build him up, speak well of him." And 350, listen, God has so many ways to bless you, you can't even imagine. If you just get a mindset, get conscious to it, get awake to it, that God's trying to bless his church. He's trying to bless his people. He wants to pour into you the abundance of God through your life. We've so resisted it because we're so afraid of technology and afraid of the advance. And God says, listen, stop fighting it. Use it for his glory. In Genesis 22:12, he said, "Do not lay hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you withheld not your only son from me." He said, Abram, because you didn't withhold from me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. You and I, sometimes it's hard to get it through our heads to stop withholding from God. Stop withholding your praise. His presence demands a response. When the praise service is going on, you ought to have something displaying that he is in the room. You don't have to be radical as I am. You don't got to come up here and dance, but you ought to have some kind of acknowledgement that you ought to respond with some praise. You got to respond with some worship when worship is going on. Don't withhold your praise. Don't withhold your worship. Don't withhold your passions. Somehow the church has gotten so off track, we're more passionate about a football game than we are about the presence of God. We're more passionate about a sporting event, watching the NC2A tournament. We're so excited about what's going on there and come to church and got no response to God. Don't withhold your obedience from God. Be obedient every day. Say, what's God want me to do today? Because if you don't withhold it, God will multiply it. God wants to increase you. Don't withhold your giving from God. Some of you are so consumed with your need that you're so worried about, I just can't afford to give to God. You can't afford not to give to God. I'm just telling you, if you withhold it, if you hold back from it, there's a spirit of lack that'll get on you. I can't tell you how many people call the church for benevolence, and when you check to see if they're a giver, they give nothing to the church. I'm just telling you, if you withhold from God, you're going to experience lack. You're going to experience defeat. Stop withholding your obedience. When God speaks to you about praying with somebody, whether you're at the beach or McDonald's, just respond. I'd rather err on that was me and not God than to err on that was God and not me. You know what I'm saying? It's like respond in obedience. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples were multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And many of the priests were obedient to the faith. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. In Acts 12 and verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Your God is a God of multiplication. There are to be more people saved this year than any other year on the history of this church. There are to be more people saved, more people filled with the Holy Ghost. More people baptized in the Holy Spirit and waking up fresh and anew, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1 and 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, peace, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. God multiplies whatever you give him. The fish and the loaves. They're in a deserted place. Jesus said, feed the people. We have no food. We have nothing. We have just a few fish and a few loaves. God said, take it, break it, bless it, and give it. And at the end, they took up 12 baskets full of leftovers, more than what they had when they started, because God never leaves anything the way he found it. Our best days are ahead of us. In blessing, I will bless you. The church building, this church building, now the new 40 acres, it's just the beginning. Come on, we haven't arrived because we bought property. We are walking in a new season of expectancy from God. Be awake to the blessing. Our best days are not behind us. Your best days are ahead of you. Awake to the blessing. I had no idea what God was going to do with this church. I had no idea what God was going to do with my life. Uneducated, never been to college, never been to seminary. Just willing to be obedient and give my life. And God says, I'll multiply you. Now I've got sons all over the house. I've got young men who can preach the gospel, who carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're all over the house. Why? Because God's multiplying my efforts as I give God what I have. It's not a lot. I don't have a lot to give, but I give him what I got. And God says, I'll take it, I'll bless it, I'll break it, and I'll return it. I will bless you. You are blessed to be a blessing. I've been preaching this way since we was at the Hampton Inn. We had a little room, seat 20 people, and I filled that as many seats as I could put in there. I had 5 or 6 people sitting on the front row, and I put every chair out we could fit in that room, and I started preaching the gospel. And God's multiplied it. Now we're in 3 services, and God's multiplying. Now we just bought 40 acres and a big old horse barn that'll seat 1,000 people, and God's multiplying it. And God's not done in this building. We're going to build this property out, and we're going to build it up for the kingdom of God. And this will always be a place where the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows like a river to this community. I ain't done. We're not done, church. God is a God of multiplication and increase. Get it into your spirit. Your building, your business hasn't seen its best days yet. You're not going under, you're going over. He said he'll bless you. He'll increase you more and more. Well, I'm retired and I just don't have the kind of resources that I have. You've got more in you now than you've ever had in your life. It's inside of you. It's a river. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He didn't put an age restriction on it. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He didn't say when you was a young lady you could do it, Rosemary. He said, in your latter days, I'll bless them better than your former days. The end is always better than the beginning. Come on. Sit back and let the devil lie to you. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. You got purpose. You got power. The virtue of the Holy Spirit is being sent to the city. He's a God of increase and multiplication. Don't withhold your life from God. In Psalm 115, 14 through 16, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed in the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the heavens are the Lord's, and the earth he has given to the children of men. We need to take the message global. Use technology. Use every ounce of technology that we have at our fingertips and stop allowing technology to run our lives and start using technology to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If what you have is seed form right now, maybe it's just seed form. It's just something small. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. God can take one business mogul with two words and promote Billy Graham to be one of the greatest evangelists that has ever come to the United States. Two words. Puff Graham. What could God do with your life? He just needs to send one thing into your life and change your life forever. I love Charlie Bit My Finger. You ever see that thing? Huh? You never seen it? Charlie, you bit my finger. That really hurt. It's this one little thing that this one family recorded their kids when Charlie bit his finger, and he cried out, and that thing went viral all over the nation, and now Charlie's taken care of for the rest of his life. He didn't have to pay for his college. He don't have to pay for anything. One thing, Peter. It's one idea. When you're down to your last grain, when you're down to your last little meal bucket, when you're down to all I got is this right here, it's a seed. And when you give that seed to God, when you put yourself in a place of saying, hey, my God's going to bless me. I'm not done. You're not done, Ty. When God says, you give me your life and watch me bless and prosper your life. Let me take you to a whole nother level. This thing ain't over. It's just beginning. The curtain isn't coming down. The curtain's going up. And we're the players on the stage. And God's about to bless his people with all spiritual blessing. Never, never, never chase the blessing. Chase the blesser. And when you chase the blesser, there's no limit to what God can do with your life. Stop living with just enough. Get yourself in a mindset that my God is going to abundantly bless my life. I'm living in a perpetual breakthrough, and everything that I touch, God, I'm moving in it. I'm taking territory. I'm advancing the kingdom of God. I am butter. I told us back in youth group days, I was just trying to get kids out. So I fenced off with that red snow fence a big area in the church yard, and I went and got me a pig, and I said, we're going to have a pizza eating contest, and then we're going to have a greased pig contest. And whoever can catch that little pig, we're going to give them a big old large pizza. So we put flyers out all over the city, and we had, there's probably 300 kids out there, and we're surrounding this fence, and we got this little pig, and we buttered him up and greased him all up, and we put him in this fence. And the fastest kids, man, were like, I can get him. They chased that little pig. They had him in their grass, man. He just shot out of there, take off. He's just going. And we had this big kid in our youth group. He's about 400 pounds, man. He's a big boy. He said, I can catch that pig. I said, Larry, you can't catch that pig. Do you see these fast guys? Look how fast they are. He said, I'm telling you, Pastor, I'm going to catch that pig. And I said, well, Larry, sign up, man. We'll put you in there. You can go in there and try to catch it. And Big Larry, we called him Big Larry. Big Larry walked out into the middle of that pig cage, and that little pig was running around the outside of it, and Larry scooped down and went, just like that. And that little pig ran right up to him. He just picked it up and held it in his arms. Got his big old pizza and just walked out smiling. Ain't that the truth, Bobby? He just went and a pig ran right up to him. I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you sang about, come on, Gail, you could come to the keyboard. If you could just see what God wants to do with your life, what's God want to do? God wants to increase you and multiply you. Share your faith. Share his story. Share your story. God didn't bring you this far to leave you here. God didn't get, you're stuck. You need to get unstuck. You need to wake up in the power of the Holy Spirit and realize that the Spirit of the living God is in you. And there's nothing too hard for you. nothing too hard. God's greater. Listen, I'm not focusing on it, but I'm telling you, there's a spirit of lack. Too many people are living in a spirit of lack, living in a poverty mindset, even spiritually poverty mindset. There's a spirit of limitation, and a spirit of bondage. Had I left that conference when that prophet was in town and he began to tell me about all the attacks of the enemy and how Satan was going to keep coming after me, Sandy, he said, look, he's been coming after your life and he's going to keep coming after your life. I could have chose that day to walk out of that room and say, you know what? I got to be in warfare, man, because the devil's coming after me. I didn't, Bob. I said, you know what? He can do whatever he's got to do. I am butter. I took that butter part and said, that's me, man. I'm living in butter. No matter what attacks come against my life, against my family, against my children, against my grandchildren, we are butter. And we're going to get through this thing because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I refuse to focus on the plans of the enemy. I'm focusing on the plans of my God. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of a hope and a future. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. God will multiply your days. God will Marion, God's multiplied your days. He really has. Your mind is so sharp. The enemy wants to tell you that you're not as sharp as you used to be. You are. You're even sharper than you used to be. I'm telling you. You need to receive this as a word for the Lord. I mean, everybody's over 75, stand on your feet. Everybody's over 75, stand on your feet. Come on. Nag Mama, you can stand up just for a minute. Come on, stand up. You can do this. Are you you're over 75? Ain't she? Yeah. Yeah. Stretch your hands towards them right now. Let's call them blessed. Let's call them blessed. Let's call their minds blessed. Let's call their ability to distribute blessed. I thank you, Lord God, they are healthy and strong. Their bodies are not falling apart. Their bodies are mending. I thank you that they are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I thank you, God, that their best days are ahead of them and they will see signs and wonders like they've never seen. God, the things that they have prayed and asked God for will begin to happen through their lives. And I thank you that the blessing will go through them, through their children and their grandchildren. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak that over them and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. He'll multiply your days. He'll multiply your influence. He'll multiply your friendships. Yesterday, at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, I got a call from Brennan. Brennan and Christy were in our neighborhood. And they said, we're going to come out to the tabernacle, out to the horse barn. Are you guys out there? I said, no, we just left. We're home. And I said, why don't you guys come to our house? Just come over. Bring the kids. I got Titus and Tegan. Bring them over. And that, just a few hours early, Brennan and Christy were praying over their children. And Christy said, we need to pray for Brady because he doesn't have any friends. Like, he just doesn't have enough good Christian friends in his life. And at that moment, when they hung, I said, bring them to our house. And Titus and Brady ran. I mean, they ran all over this property back here, just running and playing and wrestling, playing. They were so dirty. They got in this big mound of dirt in the back. They had black stuff all over their faces. And they come up, and I said, boys, strip down, jump in the pool. And they said, we don't have our bathing suits. I said, that's all right. I hosed them off. Said, now just strip down to your underwear and jump in. When they jumped in, and they played and they played and played. I'm telling you, God is going to multiply your friendships. Some of you don't have enough godly friends in your life. You got people in your life that are always taken from you. If the only friends you have in your life always want to borrow your stuff, they're not your friends. If every time you open your garage door, your neighbor's over there knocking, hey, can I borrow your weed whacker? Can I borrow your hedge trimmer? Can I borrow? At some point, you need some people to knock on your door and say, hey, do you need anything? I got so much stuff, I want to bless you, man. What are you looking for? You need a shovel? I got two of them. God's going to multiply your friendships. God's going to increase you more and more. You haven't had your best business idea yet. I'm just telling you. You haven't had your best business concept yet. It's inside of you waiting to be released when you start acknowledging the blesser is in my life. The blesser is in my life. He's going to bless me. He's going to increase me. He's going to multiply me. God's going to multiply your joy. Anybody need more joy in your life? Come on. God's going to multiply your joy. He's going to multiply your peace. He's going to multiply your love. Does anybody have any unlovable people in your life? Anybody got any cranky people in your life that are just so unlovable? God's going to help you love them. I was at the grocery store the other day, and this old woman come behind me with her cart, hit me right in the back, and was just like, get out of my way. And I thought for a minute, I'm about to go into my old nature. But I didn't. I just moved the cart aside and said, I bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you. Why? Because God will give you the ability to love the unlovable. He can multiply your love. Yeah, I can't tell you how many people I've met with that said, I just don't love my spouse anymore. I don't love them anymore. I understand that. But love isn't a feeling. Love is a choice. And I bless you to love the unlovable. Amen? Come on, everybody stand up on your feet with me. Be conscious of the blessing. Be awake to it. God will put you in places to advance you. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, I give you this scripture and I close. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Increase is not an option for believers. It's not an option. Walking in faith, he's going to increase you. Amen? Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord and just declare with me, more people saved this year. Come on. More people saved this year. More people baptized in the Holy Spirit this year.